This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. It's hard to imagine how we'd react to the news that a loved one has cancer. Many of us don't have to imagine. We've experienced it. When writer David Wolman's wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, he chose to make the experience into art. He wrote an anthology of poetry called The Long Bright. The works follow the couple's journey from diagnosis to his wife's passing. Wolman's words have since been set to music in an hour-long cantata of the same name. Andrea Clearfield composed the music for The Long Bright, and she is here today. Andrea, welcome. Good to have you here.
Great to be here.
Also with us is a triangle-based group called, well, not the whole group is with us, but the group called Women's Voices Chorus is performing The Long Bright tonight at 8 o'clock at UNC Chapel Hill. The director of Women's Voices Chorus is Alan Friedman, and he's here. Welcome back, Alan.
Wonderful to be back. Thank you, Frank.
Good to have you. And finally, Susie Hellman is here, and she's a soprano who will perform tonight with the Women's Voices Chorus. Welcome, Susie.
Thank you so much for having us.
Alan, tell us, give us some background. First on the chorus itself.
The Women's Voices Chorus has been around for 20 years. It's our anniversary season, and it's comprised of 66 wonderful women from all walks of life. We have women in their 20s. We have women who, let's say, are above a certain age, and they're doctors and homemakers and lawyers and all sorts of people who come from a vast array of experiences, and we come together on Monday evenings and make beautiful music together.
I want to hear about this particular composition and this work. Andrea, tell me, What about the music and sort of what you thought when David Wolman proposed it and showed you his poetry?
He asked me if I would write a piece based on his experience of witnessing his wife's diagnosis through his her passing. And, you know, my first reaction is, can I really do this? And I decided that it was going to be a really challenging but ultimately very important and rewarding project. And so, you know, there are so many emotions that are embodied in these poems, all range, wide range of human emotions that I wanted to translate into the music.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, it might be challenging enough to work kind of with the man who wrote the lyrics and kind of work side by side. But again, because the material itself is so deeply personal, what was that relationship like? How did it go between the two of you back and forth?
We did work closely together. I knew David. He was a native of Philadelphia. I actually knew Annie Baker, to whom the piece is dedicated, near the end of her life. She was a singer and a supporter of contemporary music. And I would ask him questions about the poems. What were you feeling when you wrote this? What does this mean? What are these metaphors? And that was very, very helpful. We had a great working relationship.
I wonder if we could get a sample right now, Andrea. You and Susie, could you give us something and tell us a little bit about what we're going to hear?
This is the second movement from The Long Bright. It's called The Bridge. And it paints a picture of David and Annie's life together. And it also includes metaphors for the cycle of life, crossing over, the sun rising, ships and water. And so I think there's a lot of layers in this piece.
All right.
I shudder. The early hint of falling ripples rocking, ships as big as islands glide. I shudder. ships moored against a shifting dock. Make the guy wise ring. Church bells move my darting eyes across, tethered to hope by the resting bridge.
There is an excerpt from The Long Bright, which you can hear in its entirety tonight at 8 o'clock, Hill Hall Auditorium at UNC Chapel Hill. Susie Hellman, the soprano, here with us today. Andrea Clearfield on the keyboard and the composer. What a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. When I'm thinking about now, you talked about the layers, Andrea, going into this, that you have sort of direct, it seems to me that music gives us direct access to the emotions. And then we have these words that are metaphorical. They are symbols, right? And you're working with those. But you're writing not only for an orchestra or the instruments, the human voice and a number of human voices. How much of that are you conscious of when you're writing all of the layers and the elements that are going to come together to make this performance when you're writing?
That's something I am conscious of. And I think about when I'm writing a big piece and, of course, something with big themes, that the voice, you know, it's the instrument that is, it is our bodies and it's our breath and it conveys our emotions. And so I feel like the lines need to move in the voice in a way that really communicates the text. And the piece is very much text driven. And the choice of musical language really comes from the energy in the text. Is it about his moments of struggle or fear or hope or hopelessness or, you know, acceptance, ultimately transcendence? The music attempts to portray that.
Right, and that's something to point out, that transcendence is a part of this. So we go through the entire process, which is perhaps the most sublime of all human experiences, is to go through this grief together and come out of it and move forward.
That's right.
All of it written together. Alan Friedman, what's it like to, when you work with this chorus, and you've worked with them for a long time, to deal with material and content that is so deeply personal and so emotional?
Absolutely. I can't imagine that there's anyone in our chorus who hasn't dealt with cancer in some way. We have a few people who are cancer survivors in our chorus, as well as people who have experienced it through their parents or through their relatives. And finding a way for them to tap that emotion in their singing without becoming overwhelmed by it is a huge challenge. As Andrea just said, singing is so intimate with our bodies, and it takes so much experience and knowledge of how your body works to produce a beautiful tone. And if you lose control of that, as we often do when we experience emotions, it's a difficult thing to maintain a beautiful tone. So finding that balance between right brain, left brain, emotion and technique, it's been a challenge, but my women are definitely up to the battle.
Man, if I ever said that, I'd be in so much trouble. Susie, let me ask you, as an artist and a performer, having to embody this yourself, and again, because this material, how is it different for you, or is it different than dealing with, you know, classical material or other kind of much less personal material in the musical, in the choral canon? Is this different for you, performing this kind of a thing?
It is, and I'm relatively new to the real contemporary musical genre, but the emotions of the piece are they're so easy to understand as an audience member, and the word painting, the text painting of all of these words, there's so much careful attention to detail of the text. And it's, though this piece is very sad and there's so much grief in it, there's really so much growth, and there's a really a really transformative experience. I think we all go through it. And at the end of one of my favorite pieces, it really asks the question of, you know, do we really die? Everything dies, but you can still see a life in everything really beyond. And it's really been a magical experience learning this.
Can I ask you to perform another piece for us?
Sure.
Do you have one ready?
We're going to do just a short excerpt from a movement to a poem that is about the time that they spent together, David and Annie. And at the end, it talks about the metaphors of flowers and growth. And if it were a flower or a resplendent gourd, there must be beauty in all growth, beauty in that place that once was ours.
And if it were a flower or a resplendent gourd, there must be beauty in all growth. There must be beauty in that place that once was.
A little sample of The Long Bright, a performance that you can hear tonight at 8 o'clock, Hill Hall Auditorium at UNC in Chapel Hill. And we're going to hear, you'll hear the performance of the Women's Voices Chorus in their entirety tonight. Susie Hellman is with us today, the soprano and composer Andrea Clearfield, as is the director of the Women's Voices Chorus, Alan Friedman, all here today on The State of Things to give us a bit of a preview. You know, it seems to me that we talked, Andrea, about working with the man who wrote the lyrics. What is it like to actually work with the performance? You are often in your garret writing music, and here you are down on the stage. What's that like?
That's right. It's so rewarding for me as a composer. I do work a lot alone in the studio, and then when Alan brought me down to work with choir, actually first in February for a whole day workshop to talk about the piece and to go deeper into the piece, it's such a special experience for me to help this community of singers bring the piece to life in a way that matters to them. And that's, for me, that's one of the things that I love most about being a composer is the collaborative spirit.
You know, in that last piece you talked about the finding the life, the sort of ongoing life in all of us and feeling that we're sort of always in process one way or another. And I think about sort of knowing how it ends, right? You know how it ends and you know that you have, again, so many layers. There's a man who wrote poetry about the loss of his life and he comes through it and transformation is embedded. And you know, spoiler alert, you got to see how it ends, right? But that's really how it is with all of us. We've all had experiences once we get to a certain age of having come through it. And so every time we speak, we embody that sense of having been suffering grief, having come through the grief, and of every word we speak. And so when I hear a beautiful, beautiful song like that, so beautifully rendered, that's almost in our voice every moment of our lives, right? One way or another, we're carrying with us the loss and the transcendence and the joy that person brought to us. What a beautiful way to embody that.
Thank you so much. I feel like these are such archetypal themes. And I also just want to acknowledge David for his courage, you know, and his generosity in putting his personal experience forward in this way.
Well, I know this is a kind of a performance that is, I would think, as you said, kind of an exceptional opportunity to have all these voices and people come together. What's been the experience, Alan, for you, just in sort of working through the rehearsals on this kind of thing? And how is it different, again, working from the classical canon or other pieces that you've done?
Absolutely. I think, first off, to be able to work with Andrea, a living composer, is a wonderful thing. We think about composers as maybe wearing a powdered wig and living in Austria or something back in the day. And working with a real composer is incredibly helpful because you're able to ask them questions, but you're also able to understand that they're real people with real emotions, just as we all are. And bringing that to our performance is just a vital opportunity to do that. I find that as I perform this music, a lot of my mind is wrapped up in technical details, as we mostly are. And then as you take a step back, it can really hit you, the power of this message in this music.
Andrea, one more question for you, and that is sort of how you avoid and you have so beautifully in this, not writing a kind of a tone poem of your own. The emotions are so strong, not sort of, you know, sort of going into a minor key and being all the hitting all the low notes, managing to sort of create that texture along the way so that we always know there's something coming and yet reflecting the mood of the moment, the mood of the moment in the moment. That seems to me a pitfall that you'd have to be conscious of. I don't want to just make the sad music just, you know, tinkle, tinkle, sad, sad. Right.
Well, I think that's something.
That's my term. It's not a term of art, by the way.
You know, there's something so beautiful in this possibility of making music to a subject like this, because music is ineffable, you know, and it can convey things that are between the words. And I feel like what the music attempts to do is to bring out the layers of meaning in the text. And for me, that happens through harmonic choices of harmony and how the harmony moves, the direction in which the harmony moves, because you can feel it moving forward to a particular text that might be, you know, poignant, and then moving away. There are places in this piece of real dynamic and rhythmic tension, and then other places, you know, where there's a more impressionistic kind of internal quiet quality of reflection.
We want to give a little chance to hear the choral version of this, though we don't have much time, so I do want to thank you. Andrea Clearfield is a composer, Alan Friedman the director, Susie Hellman a soprano in The Long Bright tonight. It's the Women's Voices Chorus. You can hear it at 8 o'clock, Hill Hall Auditorium, UNC Chapel Hill. First, thank you for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You.
And we can go out with another clip. This is a clip from a performance of The Long Bright that we will play in the last 10 seconds of this program. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacia.